Hi, and welcome to the Arana Hills Church of Christ podcast. We hope this message brings you closer to knowing God, finding freedom in Him, and understanding what He has in store for you and your community. To learn more about Arana Hills Church of Christ, head to aranahills.church. We hope you enjoy this message.
Thanks, AJ. Excellent. Thank you, lads. Now, it's going to be a different morning. AJ was very brave. He asked me to speak this morning, and I said, what do you want me to speak on? He said, anything you like. And I thought, that's it. Hey, very wise. So I'm going to speak on anything I like. It was our 30th wedding anniversary. Isn't that amazing? 30 years. Who'd have thought it, sweetheart? It was interesting. We were going to be in America for our 30th wedding anniversary. This was a couple of years ago before COVID, because as some of you know, we've got a son and daughter-in-law, and now we have a grandson. We didn't know that 2 years ago, but we do now. And so we thought that would be the place to go, and then COVID came. So then we thought maybe we'll go interstate, and that didn't happen. So we went for our 30th wedding anniversary on a big trip into Brisbane, which was wonderful. We found a nice boutique hotel. The first night we're in there, they're talking about COVID lockdowns, and I was watching the news, and there's our hotel on the COVID watch space, and the Royal Albert Hotel in Albert Street was actually one of the high-risk sites for COVID. Only a week earlier, so they assured us that our room had been deep cleaned, and I'm not coughing, so that was the time. But I want to challenge us today. I'm going to share some stuff with you that I suppose I've been percolating in my heart, in my mind for probably 20 or 30 years, but God's giving me, a voice for it in recent years, and I want to try and share it with you today, and it's about the nature of God. Some of the things I'll say, and I'm going to actually do something a bit brave, I'm going to draw a picture of God on the board, so that's going to be something new. as I draw that picture, I want to invite you to open your hearts. You're going to listen through your minds, but I want the Spirit to land on your heart as I try and present to you something of the nature of God, as I believe He really is. Sometimes in churches, in religion, we lose the nature of God because we've worked out what God's like. C.S. Lewis made a really powerful comment. He said, I know God is not a figment of my imagination because He is nothing like I imagine Him to be. And I'm going to draw you a picture, as best that I can imagine God, to sort of put Him on. And you have to start with the nature of God. And I did tell my mother-in-law she could get a black jelly bean if she does this right. But I need to start with just what would be some of the attributes that people think of when they think of God. I'm going to put the first one up. Another attribute of God, if you would look for God. Don't all speak at once. Faithful, He's very faithful. He's definitely creative. Powerful. He's powerful, yep. He's definitely good and powerful. Just. He's definitely just. Merciful. And merciful. So we had just, you're getting too fast for me. That's pretty good, you're going well. Merciful. Patient. He's definitely patient. Was that my wife? That's a pretty good start. Okay, now there we go. We've got some attributes of God: loving, faithful, creative, good, powerful, just, merciful. So when we come to think of God, we have to have in our head the nature of God, and actually God's been there from the beginning, before time, and the foundational thing about God is He's not alone. He actually exists, and if we were theologians, we'd talk about a thing called the Trinity, but I'm going to draw you the Trinity here. And actually, from before time, God has existed with Himself and within Himself. And there's three parts to the Trinity. There's the Father, the Son. I'm drawing dotted lines because I don't think we really can draw God. And I drew a funny shape because I don't think we can really understand the shape of God. But in the way that God is and the way that He exists within Himself is in relationship. So the foundation of the nature of God, and if we were theologians too, they talk about a word called perichoresis, which is a big Greek word I think theologians like just to say things to impress people, but ultimately it means like a dance. The way that it's not static. This is an active, changing, reactive relationship between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and they sit looking at one another and living within one another for them. It's a self-giving, other-centered love. Within the nature, the person of God, He chose to create us. And as AJ was praying before, he must have been reading my notes, because God actually didn't create outside of Him. He actually created within Him. And there's a few Bible verses. Have we got those Bible verses up? And as I keep drawing, I'll put this. One's from Ephesians. Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. He chose us in Him, not outside of Him, in Him, before the creation of the world, to be holy and blameless in His sight. In love, He predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with the pleasure of His will. And there's another one, I think, in Timothy, 2 Timothy. He has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of His own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of Christ our Saviour, who has destroyed death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And there's another verse. So if we put creation, He's not outside. God actually creates within Himself. We did Colossians earlier in the year. We studied the four chapters of Colossians, but look what it says in Colossians 1. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, for in Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, thrones, powers, rulers, authorities, all things created through Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. Where is all things? Held together in Christ. And one more verse we probably do remember is John 1, the beginning of John's gospel. In the beginning was the Word. So we're calling the Word the blue dotted line, Jesus. The Word was with God. The Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life. And that light was life, was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness. The darkness has not overcome it. We're going to come back to darkness in a minute. So we've got creation somehow within, held together before time. God knew this was going to happen. He saw us and created to include us. So somehow, and this is where Genesis gets exciting, Genesis 1 and 2 talks about the creation. And then within His creation, He creates image bearers. So there you go. There's a few image bearers. And image bearers, what does it mean to be created in the image of God? And theologians are still arguing about that, what that means. Some people think, so I was looking in the mirror this morning and I was looking at my image. Is that what it means? It moved when I moved. Maybe I've got a photograph in my wallet over there of my children, and I can show it to you later because they were a little bit younger than they are today. But that's an image of them, but it's a static image. It's actually what they looked like 20 years ago. Sarah was very cute. But it's changing. It's changed. So is that what it means to be created? Do we look a bit like God? I think the bigger thing that image bearing means is He's created us like Him. Someone said down here, creative, that's part of His nature. He's given us an ability to create. He's also given us an ability to relate. So in the same way that He relates to Himself, within Himself, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, we can actually relate to one another. There's another thing. I was showing this to my wife last night as I was drawing this picture to see if she understood it, because I know if I could get her to understand it, I've made a good start. Because in some ways, when we relate to one another, this is the way God put into creation. Sometimes we relate and overlap, and out of that overlap comes another new creation, another image bearer. That's all part of God's nature. that he's seeded into creation. Isn't that pretty surprising? Isn't that quite incredible? That within his creation, he's put us, the pinnacle of creation, to be image bearers, to actually see this is what God is like. So there's hints when we look around creation at sunsets and at nature, we can see reflections of God. But the biggest reflection of God is actually in us, because we bear his image. Unfortunately, in creating us like himself, he gave us the opportunity to relate, but also the opportunity to not relate. He gave us free will. And so although we were able to relate to one another, I've drawn more than Adam and Eve in this picture, but in Genesis 3, something goes wrong. And what happens within his creation, a darkness enters and it breaks relationship. And so there's wounding and there's hurt and there's mistrust. And even in the little procreations, relationships are affected. And so the break in relationship is within his creation, but it also breaks the relationship that we did have with him. And that causes a problem. Houston, we have a problem. But God didn't leave us with the problem. And he took, in an amazing way, we're coming up to, someone said it's almost the end of 21. Did you know it's only 12 weeks yesterday to Christmas? Say again. Someone's happy, but... because someone's not happy? Not quite. But what happens in creation? What is God going to do with the brokenness? He actually enters creation. We call it the incarnation. It basically means in flesh. Somehow God, in Jesus, entered creation. So in the centre of creation now, not external to creation, the incarnate. Now this is a mystery. We can't really understand it. There's some older people in the congregation who I know will remember hymns. Remember what we used to sing hymns? And I grew up singing hymns, and one of my favourite theologians, just because my dad was a Methodist, was Charles Wesley. And in one of the Christmas hymns, the incarnational hymns, it talks about the incarnation and it says, our God contracted to a span, incomprehensibly made man. That doesn't make sense, that God, who's out here before all things, in the incarnation, he chose to take on flesh. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He came to his own, but we didn't recognize him. That is the mystery, that is the marvel, but that is the goodness of God. He didn't stay outside of his creation to do something about the blackness that we'd let in. He entered into creation. And from that point, in the middle of creation, he started to deal with the problem. Now, we call this blackness sin, but in fact, what happened was the sin that was on us, in us and through us, took out Jesus. And he actually used our darkness, our rejection, our pain, our anger. He bore all of that, took that to a cross, not to satisfy God up here, but actually to show the extent of the love, how deep he was prepared to go to enter into our blackness, into our darkness. And from the inside, that's where the cross is now, within humanity, he was able to bring restoration, healing, and that's the journey we're on now. So if we looked here, if this is all about relationship, and sadly darkness is broken relationship, this is all about union. It started with God. He created us in a way to unite to one another, and then when the brokenness happened, he actually thrust in, entered into creation to deal with our brokenness. As Jesus was resurrected, we're about to celebrate that in a second with our communion, but as he dealt with the problem of sin, God was also able to deal with the problem of death, because with sin came death. And he conquered death. So Jesus actually, through the cross, ascended back into, and he said, it's better that I go away, and you'll find out why it was better he goes away. And so by Jesus' ascension back into the Godhead, he basically joins the dots within God of what is God like. Can you remember, and just before the crucifixion, the disciples were saying, you know, show us the Father, show us, then that'll be enough. Philip says, show me the Father and that'll be enough. And he says, have I not been with you long enough, Philip? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. God actually put flesh on to show us his nature. And then he went to prove that. He demonstrated that through the cross in bringing that restoration. And when he went away, and Jesus promises this, you read John 14, 15, 16 and 17, so that someone else could come, and it's greater than it was before, because the Holy Spirit then enters, not just through one man, but at all directions from the Godhead, the Holy Spirit can enter in. And it's from the inside that then, through what Jesus has done on the cross, he can start dealing with our darkness and restoring and helping our broken relationships and looking at the bits in us that are dark and broken. Isn't that an amazing picture of God, of his plan? Remember, this is from before the foundation of the world. Colossians and Ephesians tells us this was all in God's mind. He had this in plan. It wasn't something that when we mucked up, well, we've got to do something about this, we'll send Jesus. He'd intended to enter creation because he wanted to adopt us as sons. That's what it says in Colossians, before the foundation of the world. So in some mysterious way, we as his creation could join in the relationship that he's always had in himself, in the Trinity. Okay, that's a model of God. I want to draw you a model that I was more familiar with. It definitely included God. And God created. So we can put creation over here. But the bottom of creation, of course, or the centre of creation, we've got man. So external to God, this is the way I was taught, is creation outside of him, separated from God, and then because of sin, because we did have sin over here, and because we all know that God is perfect and holy, and man, because of sin over here, is unholy, we've got a gap. It's a wide gulf that separates. Now, if you think about it, all religions are based on this model. A separation of God over here, man over here. And so religions have to find a way to work their way back to God. If I was a Hindu, it would be through reincarnation. One more reincarnation will drop me up the step a little bit higher. If I was in Islam, there's a huge gap across here. So they are hoping on the nature of God. And at the end of time, if you read the Quran, they talk about, this is my drawing, the scales of justice. And when you get to your end of time, we hope that the scales are tipped in our favour. But the nature of Allah in the Islamic faith, he is capricious. You don't actually know which way the scales are going to turn until you get there. So you're hoping you make it across into a nirvana, but you may not, or into heaven, but you may not. And sadly, Christianity has adopted this model in the way that we were taught about the nature of God. Because, of course, we have got a gap, and this is called sin. So God, separate, had to send Jesus. And that then built for us a bridge across the gulf. And can you see, when you've got this separation, it allows you to have the people who are in and the people who are out, the people who are good, people who are bad, the people who are saved, the people who are unsaved. And it gets even worse when we put Christianity on it, because over on this side, of course, we've got the Christian. So what's over here? Well, this must be the non-Christians. They're outside of God. They're separated because he's holy. And we know how bad we are. So it's much easier to have a pattern like this where we can say, well, God's going to, we can walk across the bridge, but it comes with some strings attached, because if I've walked across the bridge and I've been saved, and then I see in myself there's still some darkness. What am I going to do with that? I've got to go back across the bridge again and walk back, or didn't I walk across it properly the first time? Have I really been saved? And there is an uncertainty in our salvation from this model, because we don't really know the nature of God being separate from man. And the Christians and non-Christians, it creates, instead of a union, a separation. So in this model over here, the union is all based on relationship. But this model over here, religion, and sadly, Christianity, over many years, has come under that model of the nature of God, and it's really not a good story. If this is a love story, you could possibly look at this over here as a bit of a horror story, because it really is. There's a lot of uncertainty about who's in and who's out. It does raise a lot of questions. But the question I want to ask you here, you gave me a list at the beginning with a bit of prompting. Thank you, my mother-in-law. Here's the nature of God. Which of these diagrams looks more like the nature of God? Loving, faithful, creative, good, powerful, just, merciful, patient. I think I like this side. As I said at the beginning, in some ways when you hear this, it raises a lot of questions, because we've been brought up with this. I handed out those tracts at university for hours of the Bridge to Life. That was the way you get across. It's four spiritual laws. Don't you know that's the way of salvation? If you pray the prayer, you go across the bridge. What about if we're already included, but there's darkness in it that's blocking us from seeing how much God loves us? It does create a whole other question, which I'm not going to answer today. But in Christianity, we like to have this. We're over here in heaven. So these guys are definitely over here in hell. Where's hell in that cycle over there? I'm telling you, there is hell. There's definitely hell in this picture, but it's not the hell of separation. It's the hell of the darkness that prevents us from seeing who we really are. And so we're in God. So in some ways, hell is actually included in God. Now, that doesn't fit with the traditional evangelical model where we've got God over here, here, and hell separate. But actually, if you read C.S. Lewis, now what I've just shared with you is not something I've just made up in the last few years. This is actually orthodox theology. The first 300 years of the new church, the Christian church, the writings of Paul, all believe this. It's got lost in the last 1,500 years, and other ideas of explaining and turning out what God looks like and giving a system of religion so we know how to get people in and who's out. But the nature of heaven and hell, C.S. Lewis says in his book, he wrote a book on hell called The Great Divorce, fabulous book. But he says in that at the end of time, there's actually only going to be two people, those who say to God, "Your will be done," and those who God says to them, "Your will be done." So he does leave people in their darkness. There is hell, but it's not a hell separate out here, because if we read what Scripture says, he holds everything, all powers, principalities, above and below, all held together in him. That's a mystery. So read that book, The Great Divorce. It will help you. This theology also came out in recent years in a book called The Shack. Anybody remember that book? The church we were going to at the time, one of the pastors who actually said to me later, she hadn't even read the book, they produced something on our flyer, "Don't read this book, it's heresy. Don't you know that they say God the Father's a black American woman?" The reality was, the guy who wrote that book, and we have met him, he used the image of a black African person because that's the person in his story who most represented God to him. Not because it had anything to do with gender or race. It had to do with the fact that God was loving and enveloped us in our darkness. Interestingly, that book sold 25 million copies. Amazing. For that 2 years, it sold second only to the Bible anywhere in the world. And since that time, William P. Young has developed an incredible ministry to broken people who thought they were out. And some of the strongest
impact it's had has been in prisons. So he now has hundreds of people that he communicates with, some that he's met on death row, who have suddenly discovered, yes, we got some blackness, but God still loves us. Because all their life they've been told, we're out, look how bad we are, and look at the things we've done, and so they just live out what they believe is all they're worth. Powerful. So what are we going to do with this picture? That's the question, because it does leave us with some implications. The first implication has to do with how we see other people. How do we see the people around us? If we can see them in and out in this model, it seems that we can do something, because I'm going to take people from out there and bring them in here. But if we start with this model, they're already in, they just don't know it. And like us, they've got blackness and darkness that's confusing them and blinding them, not showing them where they what they really need to see, because God already loves them. I've been confronted with this model in my own life just in the last 12 months. Some of you realise something happened to me at work about just over 12 months ago, where I was assaulted in my clinic, which was a bit of a surprise. You don't expect to go to the dentist or be the dentist and get assaulted, but a patient didn't agree with some treatment I was offering or not offering and wanted a particular drug that I didn't want to give him. And so he, something inside, the darkness in him, he assaulted me, ended me up in hospital with a broken nose. Didn't really ruin my good looks, but I did have to have stitches in the eye and in my eyelid, and I couldn't work for a few weeks, and had to then deal with the aftermath of that and the impact it had, not just on me, but on my kids, my wife, my staff at work. And yeah, I'm still processing that a bit. This sort of dealing, because he's going back and forth to court, and in the last 12 months he's tried three different ways to get out of the charge, and the police prosecutor rang me on Friday. So it came up again, and this time they've changed the fact he was going to plead guilty. Now he's going to plead not guilty by means of his unsound mind. So they hopefully will drop the charges of assault, even though they've got a lot of medical evidence that the assault actually happened. He was in his wrong mind. As I've thought about that guy, and I haven't seen him for 12 months, I'm not allowed to have any contact with him, according to police, I think of this picture, it would be much easier for me to see this guy on this side of the board. But I've got to see him here, with me, with some darkness, and an image bearer, just a broken image, a bit like me, to go through. So that's an implication. The second implication of this is for ourselves personally. Because if we've got the image of God, but it's been broken, what in us has caused that darkness to enter? Where has it come from? And how are we going to respond to the Holy Spirit, who has actually already entered into that darkness and wants to help us work through? There's one more verse. If you jump a couple of verses ahead, there's a verse in, I think I had it written down in Colossians, the end of that chapter. This is Paul talking about what's been happening in his life and what he's been called to do. I've become the servant of the gospel by the commission of God that he gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness. It's a mystery that's been kept hidden from the ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people, to all God has chosen to make them known among the Gentiles, the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. This is it's a progressive revelation. It's like being in a dark room and lighting a match. You'll see something, but not much. If you light a candle, the light will get bigger. If you turn on a torch, more is shown. And if you turn the lights on, everything can be seen. Did anything in the room actually change? Absolutely not. It was always there. This revelation has just being revealed. We're understanding what's happening. And so if we come from this model, the journey that we as individuals are on is to look in ourselves at where our darkness is. What lies have I believed from things that have happened to me? Where has my life been impacted or crushed, or where have relationships been damaged because of the blackness in me? And how is God calling on me through his Holy Spirit to deal with this? That is, I suppose, the challenge I want to leave with you. But I also want to, we're going to move into communion, but just this week, and again, this is how God works, Kath and I were sent a video by something else that we're working through. And I want to play this video as an intro to communion because it's called The Sacred Presence. There's a bit of speaking, there's a bit of music, but it actually reinforces, you might even hear some words that I've already said today about us as image bearers, and that God actually has broken into our darkness and is actually going to convert us, save us from the inside out. So let's see if we can watch that video, guys. Did that work, Dave?
Sacred presence of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in every person, moment and place, is the beginning of wisdom. Good translation, because you see, recognition, reverence, and recognition means presence, not absence. We're not moving from absence to presence, we're moving from presence to revelation. Okay, it's all about our alliance. You're not going to, nothing's going to happen to you except you're just going to get to know more and more and more who you are, where you are, and the darkness is going to be diminished. The recognition of the sacred presence of the Father, Son, and Spirit in every person you meet. Seeing the Father, Son, and Spirit in their face. That is the beginning of wisdom. Or we should say, that recognition is the end of religion and the beginning of seeing and living in and experiencing the light of life. That is the kingdom of God, present, not absent. The Holy Spirit is everywhere, in every person. Put your big boy britches on and deal with it, because it's the truth. Open our eyes and we're going to see every day, everywhere we go, this circle of life and humor and fun. This circle of beauty and blessed grace overflowing, trying to come to expression in every person around us. I am so grateful that I had eyes to see this. That's what I think the Bible means when it says, eye has not seen and ear hath not heard the joy of what I'm giving to you. So don't ask God to do anything for you. He's doing everything all the time. Just ask Papa, would you give me the Holy Spirit's Windex? Would you help me see what is? The shocker of cosmic history is we are going to see God the Father Almighty through the eyes of Jesus. And He has always loved you. You can't do anything to change how He feels about you. I don't care how bad you are. He loves you and He's working to redeem. Whatever happened to you, whatever happened to me, whatever I did, whatever you've done, all of that is in Jesus, wrapped up in the love of the Father, and He is going to redeem it. He's going to work life into it. The Holy Spirit is a redeeming genius. That's what I like to call her. The redeeming genius, always pulling the rabbit out of the hat one more time to save us from ourselves and our stupidity sometimes, and to save us from our religion. Because religion is what we do to try to manipulate God when we don't know we're in Jesus face to face with the Father. Papa's saying to us, Baxter, I am not disappointed in you because you failed.
You are so loved. Yes, you are.
That's the truth.
You are so precious.
The Father's not disappointed in us when we make a mistake and do it again, and do it again, do it again. Because the Father knows the Holy Spirit's real. And the Holy Spirit's turning that mistake around to be a revelation of Jesus in you, which is going to free you from this in time. It's going to free you from this in time. It's going to free me. So the great commission for us this morning is you got to go on a scavenger hunt. And you got to find five people today that you see Jesus in them. And you see the delight of God the Father Almighty in their face. Feel the Holy Spirit's joy. Feel the eagerness and the joy of the Holy Spirit to walk with you. Did you hear that owl? Did you see this? What did you notice? I'll take that. Oh, there's some serious hurt here. You got terrified and trauma. I'll meet you there and I'm going to redeem that. Let's just relax. You don't have to get it right. They turn the wrong into the right. You don't have to be perfect, Caroline. We get to walk together and let Him who is perfect turn us into perfection.
I came into the darkness of religion to expose its own illusion. Entered into your confusion. Took the abuse of your rejection. Turned it all into your adoption. Raised you up with me to heaven. That's where you are. That's where you are. And yes, you are.
Let Jesus weave their life into a living sacrament of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Yeah, that's what it's all about. He's weaving Himself into our lives because of His love. And that's what the cross tells us. There was no place that He wasn't prepared to go, no depth of sin that He wasn't prepared to come under on the cross to actually bring us back to the relationship, the love story that He always intended for us. So let me pray for us, and then the guys are going to lead us in a bit of worship. But we can then take communion together. Father, I thank You for Your love, for Your plan. Jesus, I thank You for Your creation, for Your gift, for Your sacrifice for us. And Spirit, I thank You for Your presence whispering into our hearts. That we're okay, that You know us, that You love us, that You are for us. And as we share communion now, we just receive elements from Your creation as reminders, but also elements of Your creation as a recognition that You have entered into us, into our darkness, and from the inside You are restoring Your creation. So we thank You, Father, and we bless You. Amen. Let's take communion together.
Thank you for joining us today. If you were encouraged by the message and would like to hear more sermons like this, make sure you hit subscribe. Follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. To experience other messages, videos, and live services, head to aranahills.church and navigate to the Resources tab. Thanks for listening.